every day. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, baby, I love your way. Every day. Shadows grow so long before my eyes.
Welcome back to hour number 3 of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulously Fukushima irradiated hole in the ozone layer paradise, where all you need to do to soak up the rays is walk outside. And my very special guest is still Peter Kling, who's quite fabulous in the interesting stuff that he's talking about. Peter, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Vinny. You know, here we are in a very interesting time. And before I get into the book, I want to point one thing out. We talked about the Rothschilds' efforts to form a one-world government in 1814. The same effort came about in 1914. We got a First World War. League of Nations afterward. The United States wouldn't join. We got a Second World War. The United States joined. Israel becomes a country. Here it is, 2014. A very interesting changing time of history. I say changing time of history because we're going to face some changes. We're going to face some very interesting changes. The world changed when Napoleon ran rampant through the world. The world changed more so in 1914 because we moved to mechanized and chemical warfare. And here we are in 2014. And we're facing something that's really interesting. It's the prophecy of the blood moons. There's 6 prophecies talking about this event happening. The prophecy basically says this: the sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned to blood before the great and illustrious day of Yahweh arrives. That day being the Battle of Armageddon. Now, most people think about the Battle of Armageddon as being the end of the world. Wrong. It's the end of the world system. The end of the coming New World Order. So you can't do away with the New World Order until you have the New World Order that you can do away with it. When you actually look at the contents of the Bible, and this is what I break down in my book. My book could cover where do we come from? What's the most likely explanation? Well, we go back to the Bible and it says we were genetically engineered and that we have the soul of God. The very soul of God is breathed into our nostrils and we are given that energy and a consciousness. We are alive. We are awake. Well, most of us are. If you're listening to this show, you probably are. So we have this within us. There's more that's going on here. There's the old Egyptian saying, as above, so below. And so we are looking at the world events today, and we see that, boy, there's so many hot spots around the world. It seems like we're on the brink of destruction any minute. And the biggest problem that we're actually facing is financial collapse. The dollar is still the world's currency, and it's on the verge of collapsing. And all currencies are on the verge of collapsing, or most anyway. The Pope came out last May, said that the debt system, which has become an enslaving or a way to enslave the masses, must be changed. He was calling for a change in the world banking system because it has become The system that we have is a debt system and a system of enslaving the masses. In the beginning of July, he came out and he said that they were going to enforce, in an apostolic letter, they were going to enforce papal law. I'm like, what is papal law? Not too many people understand papal law. I don't. But the gist of the letter is that you needed to follow the rules of the Vatican, and if you didn't follow the rules of the Vatican, they were going to turn around and prosecute you to the fullest extent of papal law or of Vatican law. Now, you might say, oh, so what? The church is going to go police itself? Well, yes, indeed. And the first thing it did was to declare an open policy to the Vatican Bank. where you can go in and inspect their books anytime and make sure that there's no corruption going on. And at the same time, a very high-ranking bishop who was in charge of part of the Vatican Bank was arrested for fraud, for money laundering. So they're doing their own housekeeping, time to clean house. Since then, more and more people have been arrested for money laundering and fraud from the Vatican Bank. You don't hear about it, but go look it up online. You can find it if you look hard enough. In September, the Pope comes out and he says that the current currency system has to change and they can no longer use "In God We Trust" on currency because they worship money and not God, and they can no longer declare "In God They Trust" because they have made money their object of worship and they have used it as a debt enslavement. Now, here's an interesting thing. You got a Pope who's a Jesuit, and the Jesuits control a considerable portion of the banking system of the world. The other side of the banking system is the Zionist house of the banking system, controlled by the Zionists, the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers. Go to all the big banking houses. They've been around since the Knights Templar. And we're going to tie the Knights Templar in here in just a minute. But since the time of the Knights Templar, and pretty much everyone will tell you that that's where we got our modern-day banking system from, was the system that was developed by the Knights Templar so pilgrims can go safely to the Holy Land and visit the Holy Land. So we have this change being called for by the Vatican. Now, on October 3rd, this Jesuit Pope gives an edict, a 41-page edict, on changing the world financial system. Interesting. The Pope has spoken. Now, what makes this so interesting is the fact that the Church, the Holy See, is the mother of all corporations. Hence, all corporations answer to whom? The mother. And you ask yourself, well, why are all religious entities corporations? Because they are all offspring of the mother corporation. So the banking corporations, the businessmen of the world, all corporations come under the auspices of the rules of the Church. How about that?
Well, what was the most powerful entity in the world for a long period of time? The Church. Now, what massive powerful entities that still exist today gave up all of their power, you know?
Yeah, seriously. What do you think people say, "Oh, I don't want this"? How many?
I'm really getting sick of going around with impunity, not having to have any responsibility, having all the health in the world and being able to do absolutely anything I want without any freaking consequences or whatever. You know, I'm just a bad person. I'm going to give up all of that ruthless freaking control and power. I mean, are people retarded? And the answer is, yes.
Off with their heads. You know, yeah, you look at this and it's like, seriously? Seriously? And that's where they're leading us down this path.
Yeah, as my former producer would say, it's out of control.
Now, here's something that's going to happen this year. And it's funny, I came across this 4 years ago, well, 3.5 years ago. Came across this in October of 2010. On my Facebook page, I had a lot of New Age people that were all excited because 10-10-10 was coming. So through the month of September, I watched posts about 10-10-10 coming. And then in October, there were more posts about 10-10-10 and the synchronicity of the numbers and how it was enlightenment. And, you know, I have to say they were right, because I had a moment of enlightenment in my being irritated and to the point of being pissed off about all these 10-10-10, 11-11-11, comments that were that I was seeing coming across my page.
On 10-10-10, I had a profound realization that all the people running about 10-10-10 were freaking retarded.
Well, you know, maybe they weren't so retarded after all, because this is what I wrote. I wrote, I understand 10-10-10. I understand 11-11-11. I said, I even understand 12-12-12. I said, but what we need to be careful of is 3-13-13 and 4-14-14. And the only reason I said it is because it's, in my mind, it was the next synchronous numbers to come about. I said, why did I say that? I thought, I have no idea. Google 3-13-13, March 13-13. Nothing. Okay. What about April 14th? April 14, 2014. Ooh. Isn't this interesting? April 14th and Nisan 14, the first, or actually, it's Nisan is the first Hebrew month of the Hebrew calendar. And the 14th day of Nisan is Passover. When was the first Passover? Oh, somewhere around 3,500, 3,600 years ago in Egypt, when the nation of Israel was being kept captive and wouldn't, and they wanted their freedom, and it took 10 plagues to get them released. 10 plagues? Now, that's interesting. Because the 10 plagues were plagues against the gods of Egypt. And who was bringing these plagues? Moses said it was Yahweh, and Pharaoh said, who is this Yahweh that I should listen to his voice? And so Moses throws down his stick, and it turns into a serpent. And Pharaoh calls his wise men and his magic-practicing priests, and they come in, and they throw down their staffs, and their staffs become serpents too. And then Moses' staff, now serpent, starts eating all the other serpents. And then the first of the plagues come about, and all the waters in Egypt are turned to blood. Interesting. A series of events come about after this, all quite strange. Fish die, frogs, insect swarms, locusts, hail that burns? Where'd that come from? You mean like methane anhydrate, which is found naturally under the sea, which could have been blown out by some sort of volcanic eruption, perhaps? Yeah, could be. We saw lots of things, but why did these things happen? What was causing the earth to be this upset? The ninth plague, Moses raises his arms. He's told, Yahweh says, raise your arms, command the sun to be darkened. And so Moses does that. And instantly, the sun becomes darkened and a gloom sets over Egypt. It's the tenth plague. I'm sorry, the ninth plague. The 10th plague is really called on by Pharaoh himself, where he's ready to go kill the Israelites for causing all these problems. And the 10th plague, the Jews are told, or they're not Jews actually at this time, the Israelites are told to slaughter a lamb, paint their doorway with the lamb's blood, roast the lamb, and get ready to leave. And that night, the angel of death rides through Egypt, killing every firstborn. The next day, Pharaoh releases the Israelites, and they leave Egypt. Now, the story continues where they get into the Holy Land, and we might touch on that in a minute. But that'll be in retrospect. So here we are, 2014. We see synchronicity between 1814 and 1914. Unsettled. World wars going on. What can we expect in 2014? Economic collapse? When economic collapse happens, when they collapse the dollar, what will that do to society? It's not going to just affect the world, the United States. It's going to affect the world. Who's ever holding dollars? They can then put them in the loo and use them as tissue to wipe their bum. Think about it. That's what they'll be worth. But they have to replace it. They have to put something back into place. Now, here's the interesting thing. Years ago, I met a man, elderly man. He was from Berlin. And in our conversation, he told me that he owned he was worth $6.8 billion Deutschmarks, and it wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. Billionaires getting wiped out. That's an interesting financial collapse. Billionaires getting wiped out. All those wonderful people have been busting their ass for year after year after year after year and have saved up nice nest eggs and have nice big 401k plans that they plan on retiring on. You better cash that in and buy all the food and gold you can. Well, actually, I wouldn't recommend buying gold that much, but buy silver. You can at least trade silver, but food is more important, food and water. Being prepared. Being prepared for an economic collapse, because the chances are you are going to lose everything that you've worked so hard for to save up. If you had $100,000 saved up in the bank or $100 million saved up in the bank and they're Federal Reserve notes and the Federal Reserve note is worthless, then you own a million worthless Federal Reserve notes. Like I said, pile them up, put them in the loo. And that's what one of the realities that we're facing. But here's the other thing. On April 14th, or Nisan 14, Passover starts at sundown on the 14th of April, and it ends on sundown on the 15th of April, which, interestingly enough, here in the United States, is the 15th of April is known as Tax Day. And at the 15th of April, that night is the first of four blood moons, four full lunar eclipses, which happen all on Hebrew holidays over the next 18 months. Two on Passover, two on the Festival of Booths. There's a couple of other, Sukkoth, I believe is the name of it, S-O-K-K-T-H-U-T-H. I'm not Jewish, I forget the name. But it's the ancient, or it's the biblical Festival of Booths. And this was a harvest festival. This was a time when they were out in the fields gathering the crops for the year. And so the moonlight that they would have depended on to help with those, you know, those late harvest moons that, well, I don't know what you get down under, but we get usually in the beginning of October or the end of September, we get a huge big harvest moon. It's like the moon seems twice as big as what it normally is, and it's really full and bright. Well, this year and next year, they're going to be eclipsed. Now, if you were a nation that ran on a lunar calendar and your highest holy holidays, which depended on the full moon, were being eclipsed, what would that tell you? But not only that, there were also two solar eclipses, both on the spring equinox, which is the first day of the Hebrew calendar, 2015. 2016. The last lunar eclipse happens September 28th, 2015. Interestingly enough, September 29th is the most accepted historical date for the birth of Christ. Everybody's saying, oh, what about December 25th? I thought that was his birthday. No, December 25th is the birth of the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N. It was transfigured by the Holy Roman Empire, which became the Holy Roman Catholic Church, as a celebration for the holiday of Saturnalia. Mm. It was tied into sun worship. Now, Saturn
allegedly, I'm cutting you off. Finish your point. I'm sorry.
Okay. Saturn is also known as the star of the god Raphan, the star of the god Raphan. Now, there's a very interesting scripture in Acts. It's the most avoided scripture in the Bible, I think. But it's in Acts, the 7th chapter, the 42nd and the 43rd verse. I got a little homework for everybody to do here in a second. The disciple Stephen is standing before the Jewish high court. This is in the first century, after the death of Jesus. And this is the ruling class of Judea that Stephen was standing before. And he quotes the prophet Amos, and he says, and Amos is speaking in the first person of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And Yahweh says, was it to me to whom you worshiped those 40 years in the wilderness, O Israel? No, it was to the tent of Molech and to the star of the god Raphan to whom you made images and sacrificed to. And for that I will send you far beyond Babylon. Now, in around the year 600 BC, the Babylonians came and destroyed Solomon's temple and hauled the survivors off to Babylon. In 70, the Roman governor, or the Roman general, soon to become emperor, Titus, came in and wiped out Jerusalem and took about, killed about 2 million Jews and took about 97,000 captive back to Rome. Now, look up the star of Molech, or the star of the god Raphan. Molech is actually, the first Molech was the Egyptian god Set, S-E-T, who was a bisexual or homosexual god who required live child sacrifice.
And incidentally, they started up the search for extraterrestrial intelligence called SETI.
How about that?
Yeah, I love that. And I heard I heard a while ago that they did a star chart analysis or something like that. You know, there's references in the Bible or something about the position of the stars the night Jesus was born. And a couple of scientists, astrologers or something, were like, "Well, that sounds really interesting. Let's have a look at our current star system and how everything's currently positioned now, and then let's roll the clock back until it hits the exact same position when Jesus was born." And it turned out it was like on September 11th or something.
Yeah, and there's also an interesting thing about, just a side note here, the Great Pyramid of Giza. We talked about the Sphinx not being Egyptian. I doubt that the Great Pyramid of Giza is Egyptian. And if anybody does research on what has been found out about the Great Pyramid of Giza, you don't find an Egyptian story. You find a Judeo-Christian story.
Mm. And well, this apparently comes in, Christianity is the oldest religion on earth.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that, but... well, you see, all religion gets tracked back to the Anunnaki in Sumeria. Before that, humans were children of God. We were children of Yahweh. You go back and you look at the first account. And we're going to talk about this in a minute because it has to do with our future. It has a lot to do with our future. Let's stay a little bit more on subject here. Here we are dealing with these issues where we have, I mentioned the Star of Molech. Go to Google Images and search Star of Molech and then think where you have seen a six-sided star with 6 points and 6 pyramids on it. Oh, did I just say 666? Yeah, I did. Think about that. The mark of the beast. And what was the image of Molech? It was known better by the Canaanites as a Canaanite god, the Canaanite god Baal. And the image for Baal is a bull's head with a man's body sitting on a throne. And what they would do is the throne was actually a giant furnace, and they would build a fire in there, and they would throw live babies into the burning furnace. And that was Molech worship.
Sounds tasty. Incidentally, what do they do when they get all the wealthy and powerful and politically well-connected people in the world every single year at Bohemian Grove? Well, they burn a baby in effigy under a giant stone owl called Molech.
Yeah.
I don't think the religion's changed that much in a couple of thousand years, do you?
Not at all. Not at all. But you see, when you go back and
may I interject, though? Because despite the fact that they're currently, even openly, kind of doing it, burning the bodies in effigy, of course, we would never known about that if somebody hadn't infiltrated and shot the footage and what have you. But I can guarantee, or at least I'm highly suspicious, that they do real sacrifices as well, outside of everybody's view.
Anything goes at Bohemian Grove. And what happens at Bohemian Grove stays at Bohemian Grove. And here you have the world's most powerful maniacal rulers all coming together to party. You know, it's interesting. I just want to make a reference real quick to Prince William. When he was touring after his marriage, when him and Kate went on tour of the world to look at their future subjects, he was last seen just before the party at Bohemian Grove started. And he was supposed to be going back to London. But nobody ever saw him come back to London. You would think that there'd be fanfare and all sorts of pictures of the prince coming back to London with his new bride. Not a photograph. Makes you wonder where they went. But Bohemian Grove is starting and they were going back to London. That's the official word. And their press secretary said that they wanted to be alone in their private estate from the media.
Oh, yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense. Hey, and also, I think back in, what was it? Might have been 2010, I think, the Prime Minister, John Key of New Zealand, he was called to the States. They were having some big problem with their quantitative easing or something like that. And who can help you with a hell of a lot of big problems with quantitative easing? Oh, that's right, the guy who invents derivatives trading, of course. And so he visits the United States at the exact same time when Bohemian Grove is going on, and even mainstream media reported that he's going to Northern California, just north of San Francisco. Where's Bohemian Grove located?
Yeah, it's about the right location.
Uh-huh.
So you know, hey, have fun. Just don't ruin my life.
See, that's the thing. I do actually want to ambush the Prime Minister and ask him. And he won't admit it. Probably not. But I'll watch his frickin' eyes. When those eyes start darting all over the place like a captured animal, gotcha. Frickin' scumbag. You were there. You were killing babies, weren't you?
Let me ask you, Prime Minister, did you find it difficult to sit down during your stay at Bohemian Grove?
He's like, no. It was actually quite easy because I had small boys to sit on my lap.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I just say that on the radio? Actually, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, allegedly, okay? Let me preface and surmise everything that I just said with the word allegedly.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. Even better.
Hypothetically.
Because I think they're somewhat hypo. Because I think these old guys who go out there with the young boys and the porn stars and all of that kind of stuff, they are a bit hypo and somewhat pathetic, hence hypothetically.
There you go. The truth reveals itself once again. And truer words are always said in jest, and we seem to be having a good time laughing about this. So take it from where it comes. But
I think you really do have to actually have a strong constitution to be able to think about child murder and rape and sacrifice and be able to laugh about it without it destroying your freaking soul. Right?
Especially if you have children.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but what choice do we have, ladies and gentlemen? It's going on, isn't it? It's going on. Are we gonna save all of these kids? No, we're freaking not, are we? They're dying right now. Thousands of them. At this very moment, are probably being tortured and raped by the elite, and nothing we can do about it.
Because they vanish. They disappear. We just had a little girl killed in the United States here yesterday. They saw the person who... Now, this wasn't done by an elite. This was just done by some maniacal maniac who liked to murder little girls.
Well, that's probably why you heard about it. In fact...
You don't hear about that. You don't hear about things at the top level.
Yeah.
Not unless somebody at the top level is spilling the beans.
Yeah.
You know, decides to say, okay, I had enough of this nonsense, like George Green.
Yeah.
If you go look for a video about George Green, he'll tell you that he was sitting in Aspen, Colorado, I believe it was the Prime Minister of France and Teddy Kennedy, and there was a lot of cocaine there. And when George's 14-year-old daughter walked in the room, George said that Teddy Kennedy said, I'd like to do that. And George looked at him and said, no, you wouldn't. And Kennedy said, why not? He said, well, that's my daughter. Kennedy said, so? I would have punched Kennedy right in the mouth and then kicked his ass across the room, out the door, down the hallway, down the stairs, and out into the street. And then said, that's for Chappaqua. Oh, Chappaquiddick, sorry. That's for Chappaquiddick. Now, you want to talk about my daughter?
Sorry, what's Chappaquiddick? Is it like a relative to the Chupacabra?
No, Chappaquiddick, years ago, in the 60s, Senator Ted Kennedy drove off of a bridge and into the Chappaquiddick River where his secretary drowned to death. It's believed that she may have been pregnant.
I got you.
Mary Jo, I believe, was her name. Mary, I can't remember her last name. It's got a hard-sounding C name, if I recall correctly, but it's been a long time since I brought up Chappaquiddick. I mean, here's a man that's one of the most respected politicians and somebody who he respects enough to keep leisure company with, someone that I would think would be a friend. He wants to have sex with his underage 14-year-old daughter. What are you, nuts? Yeah, those are the people that are ruling this system.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? We brought up so many issues that we're facing, everything from alien invasion to child sacrifice. Where does that leave us? We've got Fukushima exterminating the planet and the 45 agenda, the 2045 initiative to make sure that all biological humans are dead.
Mm.
Where does that leave us? Where did the technology come from? Why is this the most critical time in history? You see, all of these letters to Earth. I never intended to write a book. Never intended to write a book. I needed to know the scientific answers for myself. And I came across what started this all as I read Job, the 38th chapter, and I get down to the part where Yahweh is talking to Job, and he says, "Have you seen my storehouses of snow, which I have saved for the day of distress and war?" And I'm thinking, storehouses of snow? Job? Middle East? What would Job know of snow? Now, I had learned to meditate, so I started meditating. I went to a meditative level, and I put myself, I went into deep meditation. I actually went into the theta level of the mind where your brain slows down nice and slow, and you can do remote viewing. And so I went back, and I looked through the eyes of Job, and what I saw were the mountaintops around where I lived and how they were covered in snow. And I said, that's no storehouse of snow. And so I started kind of like, what I would call playing Google Earth, where you start, you know, coming away from looking at your feet to now looking at the planet from space. And I realized that the storehouses are at the poles. Oh, how stupid. That's how obvious. Hidden in plain sight, the storehouses are at the poles. How do you use snow? What are the properties? Well, you can either melt it or you can make more of it. I thought, well, if you made more of it, might cause another ice age. But if you melted it, that would really impact the world a lot, because 80% of the population of the planet lives within 90 miles of the coast. That's why they came out with SALT II treaties to keep short-range nuclear missiles, because they can pull a submarine up to somebody's coast and they can kill 80% of the population of that country because they live within 90 miles of the coast. They don't need long-range ballistic missiles. Got stealth submarines. Pull up, wipe you out. So, you know,
New Zealand also holds a very strategically significant position in the South Pacific, because there's what's called Submarine Alley. There's this giant trench that runs from, I think, the California coastline all the way down to New Zealand. And apparently when stealth subs launch their missiles, they then jump down into that trench so they can't be detected or have retaliation against them, and then they hightail it back to New Zealand. So there you go. And I think New Zealand's going to be a U.S. military base before long. Mark my words.
World power military base.
Mm.
Remember, the U.S., who the U.S. is still controlled by. Hello, Queen.
Thank you.
And the Queen is a dame of the Knights of Malta and answers to the Pope. There you
go. Didn't the Pope excommunicate the royals back in the day, you know, for making up the King James Bible and stuff? Or was it, what's his name? No, King Henry VIII. Yeah. He was like, you know what? I'm going to create my own English church. But why is that? Because I got syphilis and my wife won't sleep with me and I can't get divorced for her because of the Catholic Church. So you're just going to make up a new religion because you can't get laid? Yes. All right, well, you're the king.
Pretty much. I mean,
Wait, just think about that. It's like the ultimate papal cock block.
Well, the man who is credited with starting Christianity, with starting the Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, is Emperor Constantine, the man who commissioned the writing of the Bible. Did Constantine care about the message of Christ? Heck no. Constantine worshipped Mithra. As a matter of fact, he had over a 30-foot statue commissioned to be built of himself as the god Mithra. And when you look up the history of the god Mithra, he is portrayed as the pagan Christ.
Hey, wait a second. Didn't the word Mithra also involve the word myth? Is there any etymological kind of significance there?
You would certainly think so.
Hmm. Sorry, continue.
So here you have essentially the church adopted Christianity, but all they did was give Christian names to the existing pagan holidays. It's an extension of the church. The Church of Rome is basically the religion, the old religion of Rome in its Mithra worshiping days, and they took Mithra worship and they kept their holidays and gave them Christian names. And they got everybody they paid off the ruling class to buy into it. When they got the Bible, do you think they wanted anybody to know what was written in the scriptures? Especially, you know, you have Mithra worshippers, and now they're adopting a large part of the Hebrew canon, the Hebrew holy text, including the most sacred books, the Torah. And you're making that part of your religion? A bunch of Mithra worshippers are going to convert to Christianity? Yeah, you guys hold on to that dream. Go research every holiday the church holds, and it has a pagan origin, which can be traced right back to, guess where? Ancient Sumeria. Almost every world empire still celebrates the same holy days as the Anunnaki invented for us back in Sumeria. How about that? How about that? So it's the same repetitive nonsense by the same alien or extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, which have kidnapped us. Now, I keep on going back to that kidnapping. Let's take a look at this real quick. We've got two new life forms, perfect DNA. Perfect. And when you examine the account, they're living together, they're naked, and they're happy. And then the serpent comes along and says, hey, eat this fruit. You'll be just like God. You see, they were children of God, and it's like fish. How does a fish know it's wet? Once it gets out of the water, it realizes, hey, I'm wet. I'd rather be back in the water. How did they know that? They got to know something's just like God, but they already were God-like. They weren't going to die. They had perfect DNA. They communicated with God on a daily basis, according to the scriptures. At least Adam did. And so now they eat this fruit. They're very comfortable before eating the fruit being naked together. But after they eat the fruit, uh-oh, we're naked. And then they hear the voice of God, and they become afraid, and they hide themselves. And God says, well, why are you hiding? And he said, well, we were naked, and we were afraid that, you know, wait a minute, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the fruit? Now, you see, you go back to this proverbial fruit here. And could the fruit have contained a virus which erased part of the human genome, erased part of the DNA, the part that would bring it all together to make it complete? Huh. I asked a genetic engineer that one time. A girl who just got out of college, she had a dual master's degree. One of them was in genetic engineering. Biochemistry and genetic engineering is what her two majors were. And I asked her, is it possible to figure out if that genetic code ever existed? Or is it, you know, could it have been erased? Is there any way of telling? Could it have been erased? And she thought about it. She said, no. We could very well have had some of our genetic code erased and there'd be no way of telling. And so, could a virus do that? Yeah, it sure could. Don't eat from that fruit. It'll kill you. Why was the fruit put there? You got to ask the people who kidnapped us. Because once that connection was broken, once the DNA was broken, it's interesting, some things that were said, God gets upset. He turns to the serpent. He says, you do this? And the serpent, you know, is like, he says, because you did this thing, you're going to crawl on your belly on the dust of the ground. And your seed, and this is interesting, this is the first prophecy of the Bible. It says, I will put enmity between your seed and the woman, and the woman's seed and yours. And your seed will bruise him in the head, but her seed will bruise, I'm sorry, your seed will bruise him in the heel, but her seed will bruise you in the head, your seed in the head. And this is the first biblical prophecy. But the woman's seed, the serpent's seed, what is this? Two genetic lines, two different strains of DNA? Ah, is that why reptilian shapeshifters are ruling over us? And that's why they interbreed, to keep the serpent seed pure, to keep that cold-blooded, maniacal, I'll kill anybody, anywhere, anytime, and even eat my own young. That serpent seed. And then you have the woman seed, caring, loving, giving, motherly. Someone you want to cuddle when you are upset with. I don't care how old you are, you know, mom's mom. But when you were a child, mom was your refuge. So these two genetic lines were talked about. Again, back to genes. You can't understand this unless you know genetics. So we have these two seeds with us today. Now, most of us have a good 50-50 blend of each. However, those of us with more of the woman seed are more likely to wake up. Not only that, but we can mentally change our own DNA. So the more you focus on the good, the positive, and the loving things, the more your DNA will change that way. Your brain will fire more synapses in that direction. It'll create new neurological paths, and you'll be focused more on a doing good type paradigm as opposed to murder and mayhem. So we can change or influence our own DNA. Now, what does that bring us today? We have some people waking up, some people never wake up. But let's go back and let's look. What was the prime directive? God said, let us make man in our image. Us, our, plural, who was being talked to? Well, obviously, God was talking to the genetic engineers. He said, okay, you guys got the design, but let's make man in our image. What's the image of God? What is the image of Yahweh? It is in our soul and the purity of light which we reflect. How we interact with others. Are we there to help others? Are we there as loving individuals? Now, here's an interesting thing. Before they ate the fruit, they were comfortable being together. After they ate the fruit, they took flight. They were frightened. Now, the mind, or I should say the brain, has four operating speeds to it. Beta, which is where fight and flight reside. It is the reactionary part of our operating system. And our brain cycles somewhere between 16 to 22 cycles per second in beta. Then there's alpha. Alpha is where we have to go to meditate or pray. Interestingly enough, if you're making love, most likely you're an alpha. If you're relaxing and daydreaming, you're an alpha. The next step down is theta. And in theta, you are at a state of meditation where you now can visualize and see things clearly, and you can start to see, or what is called remote view. You can send your consciousness beyond the third dimension. When your brain slows down even slower and goes into delta, this is where people report having out-of-body experiences. Interestingly enough, I was in a coma, And while in a coma, I heard a voice. It said, come with me. And I was actually in one part of New York in a hospital in a coma, and I was instantly transported to another part of New York, and I'm watching the birth of my youngest child. I was watching it like I was at the ceiling looking down, watching the birth. And who was that that said, come with me? Now, interestingly enough, when I came out of the coma, my mom was standing over me. And the first words out of my mouth were, Ma, call so-and-so. She had the baby. And my mother looked at me like, son, I know you just came out of a coma. What's wrong with you? But she had the most confused look on her face. And she said, okay. And she went. She left. I passed back out. Next time I opened my eyes, my mother was standing there again. And she said, congratulations, you have a son. Come with me. And I got to see it. And when I came to, I told her to make the phone call. I also had what's called a near-death experience. And this is interesting. No one has the same experience. Whoever has a near-death experience, there are no two near-death experiences the same. Everybody gets a different little message. When I died, I was in the process of dying. I was being wheeled down a hospital corridor on a gurney, and I couldn't move. I could only move my eyes, and I know I was in trouble, and I know I was dying. I could see a doctor, and I could see nurses around me, and I couldn't tell them that something was wrong, and I was dying. And the next, and I can see the ceiling and them, and everything's in color. And the next second, I'm looking down at them wheeling me away on a gurney, and everything's in black and white. And I can feel myself being pulled away from my body. My life didn't flash before my eyes, but I was upset. I was angry. I was in a state of, I wouldn't say terror, but I didn't want to die. And I knew I was dying because I had just got married. I just had a kid. I started a whole new chapter in my life. And now here I was literally being pulled away from my body. And I figured this is it. And all I could see about myself was that my consciousness could see this white mist, cottony looking stuff, this energy that I was in. And I could feel myself being pulled further and further away from my body. And I could see there was just the tiniest little wisp coming out of my chest. And when I turned my focus to see where I was being pulled to, there it was, the great white light, a huge white orb of pure energy. And I was connected to it, and it was pulling me into it. And then it stopped, and the energy was no longer pulling me, but it started to push me away from it, and it put me back in my body. Boy, you want to talk about visions and dreams I had during that little episode. I came to understand something, though. I came to understand what the soul is in our connection. Now, people may understand what Carillion photography is, where it was developed by a Russian scientist who had the last name Carillion, and he developed a method of photographing someone to catch the energy field coming out of their body. You know, everybody's got this different experience, and here we have in our body, what is in our body that leaks out, what is captured on Carillion photography is our soul. And that is, our body is a container for the soul. And my experiences and most other experiences of people who have near-death experiences, that we all go back to God. Everybody's experience is different, but everybody sees the great white light. So here there is intelligence. There is a brain, I won't say a brain function, but a consciousness of who you are, which is enveloped in an energy field, which is that little piece of God. It's our own divinity. It's our own personal little God particle. It is the image that we are made in. Our physical body is dictated by the planet Earth itself. We have to work within the parameters of the Earth, and indeed our DNA has all the DNA of the planet on it. So we're a perfect match. We have a perfectly designed body to function on this planet inhabited by a spiritual soul, which is who we actually are. Now, here's another part of our own divinity. Every healthy woman is born with 400,000 eggs in her ovaries, approximately 400,000 eggs. In order for her to use all of her eggs, it would take 35,000 years, passing one a month. She would have to live 35,000 years. Men never stop making sperm until they die. So we have a reproductive system, which then gives us the other part of this prime directive, where God says, let us create man in our image. And he gives the, so he creates the male and female, and he gives the prime directive, be fruitful, become many, and fill the planet. Have a good day. I'm out of here. It's the seventh day. I'm taking a rest. Be back in 7,000 years. You all have a good time. Shortly thereafter, the human race is kidnapped by interdimensional extraterrestrials, and the history of the Bible starts. Now we are at the end. We're at the end where this entity that we call Jesus is talked about as returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We already talked about several different types of entities, including the demonic forces, which are here. Here's an interesting little side note. The world wants disclosure. We want to know that aliens are out there. We have the technology to do genetic engineering, and we can genetically engineer a body that can be spiritually inhabited by the soul of a Nephilim, and we can create our own alien invasion. We have the technology. Think about a million alien bodies. You know, like Star Wars, what is it, the War of the Clones or whatever that episode is, where they've got all the clones, where they're manufacturing all these clones?
Attack of the Clones, episode 2, yeah.
There you go, Attack of the Clones. Well, here they come. We have the technology, and so we hear about all these underground bases, possible bases on the moon, possible bases on Mars.
The planet, or the race of creatures that was creating all those clones were called Caminoans. Now, in Spanish, El Camino means the way to go. So were they trying to tell us that cloning is the way to go?
Gee, you would think so. See, isn't that what science tells us? You know, we can bioengineer your children for you so we can get out all the bad stuff so they don't get anything like diabetes, or you don't have to worry about Down syndrome, and, you know, they're not going to be born with an extra toe. We can, design our babies. No heart conditions, no brain malfunctions. Yeah, genetically engineering our own children. You remember that song? Well, you probably don't, but there's that song back in the 70s that came out. In the year 2525.
I've heard that song, yeah.
If man is still alive, if woman can survive. No, we're never going to make it that long under this paradigm. So we need a paradigm change. And this is what I explain in Letters to Earth. You can't survive Armageddon, because the paradigm change of Armageddon is to bring this corrupt system of evil, which is being controlled by these rebel alien life forms, which kidnapped us 6,000 years ago and have blessed the maniacal rulers of this world, who wouldn't think twice and in fact have planned snuffing out biological life on Earth. Now, that's their paradigm. The prophecies say that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to be coming shortly after a Nibiru-type event, which could very well happen the spring of 2016. The moon turned to darkness before the Passover and before the release of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Jesus said that the day is coming, that no flesh would be saved if it were not for the chosen ones. But because of the chosen ones, those days will be cut short. Because of the chosen ones, the chosen people. Who are the chosen people? Those people who can operate in a state of love in Alpha and leave the Beta, fight and flight, behind. You see, when that fruit was eaten, humans were given the Beta operating system of the mind, where we could fight and kill And the worst thing that you can do is give an entity that has the right, the free will, put them in beta where they're going to fight and kill each other or cause mayhem where people are going to have to flee, where we are in a reactionary state all the time. You know, if you're in that state of alpha, and it's interesting, in Revelation, Yahweh, speaking about himself, refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega. And when you're in that state of alpha, you're in a state of relaxed love. You're in a state of caring. You're in a state where you feel at peace with yourself and the world. So guess what? The beta test of Earth has failed, and it is time for a new paradigm. Under the new paradigm, we get our DNA repaired. This Earth gets repaired. The Fukushima radiation, all of the nuclear waste that's been dumped, all of the toxic waste that's been dumped, all of the stuff that's killing the planet can be changed quickly. How? String theory gives us the answer. Change the vibration of the atomic structure of the toxic ingredient. Once the vibration changes, the ingredient changes, or the atomic structure changes, so the properties of that item change. And so guess what? With a sonic blast or a vibrational blast, nuclear radiation is no longer an issue. All the pollution is no longer an issue. It can all be made inert just by vibration, controlling the vibration. The Earth will be restored. It'll be brought back to its original paradigm. And once we are restored to the original paradigm, to get an idea of where that original paradigm will bring us, the only record of perfect human DNA on the Earth since the time of the first seeding of the first human couple is that of the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. There was perfect DNA. What could he do? According to the record, he could walk on water, change water into wine, control the weather, raise the dead, cure the sick, heal the blind, feed thousands with leftovers. And could you imagine if we were like that? All of the inhabitants of Earth had those abilities? And when we get to Revelation, the 21st chapter, it says that there will neither be mourning nor pain nor outcry anymore. Death will be no more. The former things will have passed away. I mean, we're not going to die. We'll overpopulate this planet in no time. No, for the tent of God will be with mankind. We will have that spiritual connection. We will have more than what we can understand. We will have abilities we have no idea about right now. And there are trillions of Earth-like planets just waiting to be inhabited by human children of God. And that, my friends, is the prime directive, not just for Earth, but for the third dimension. That is what the intention was for the human children of God, to fill the third dimension with love. I'm going to give you, we're going to end with this note. What is God? Very quickly, we know by physics, you can neither create nor destroy energy. And when you go to Revelation, we are told that Yahweh is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. Before him, it says nothing existed, and after him, nothing will exist. Now, we know we can neither create nor destroy energy. So that means that at one time, there could have only existed pure dynamic energy, the God particle. And we know this energy was intelligent. We know it was conscious. It was alive. And something caused this energy to change. This energy came up with a concept which changed it into the 10-dimensional plus multiverse in which we live, because it all connects back to the vibration of the God particle across all the dimensions. So what was it that inspired this pure dynamic energy to change and become an event horizon, the alpha horizon? It was a concept. It was the concept of love. It works on so many different levels. You can love your car. You can love your house. You can love your dog. You can love your kids. You can love your parents, your family. You can love that significant other like no one else can. You can love so much and never run out of love. And you can get so much, and you, the more you get, the better you feel. The more you give, the better you feel. And so in 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, we read, God is love. Maybe that's why Jesus told us the greatest commandment was to love Yahweh, your God, with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you do yourself, because he's your brother, regardless of his skin, regardless of what they look like, regardless of where they grew up, what religion they studied. They're human. They're children of God, and they're our brothers. Think about that. So we don't want to take up arms and go to war against our own brothers. This is an interdimensional war. It's time to sit this one out and let the King of Kings come to power on his own time. We have a fantastic future ahead of us. And like I like to say, if you're not around after Armageddon, you're going to miss a whole lot of loving. Because there's going to be a whole lot of loving going on after Armageddon. And if you're not there, you are definitely going to miss it. Because we will rebuild. We will have that original prime directive restored. And it'll give you something to do. You know, just think. You always wanted to be king of the world. How'd you like to have your own planet? One where every person on that planet was your child, grandchild, great-grandchild. You know what? At this stage of the game, we're even going to throw in an option on a galaxy. Folks, you can have, for today and today only, you can not only have a planet, but if you sign up, you can have your own galaxy. Because there's plenty of them out there.
And with there and you can pay for it in installments.
You know what? We're going to give it to you free.
No, even better. You can pay for it in installments via credit card.
Sure, you can pay for it with a credit card. Why not? But, you know, that is the eventuality. This is the beginning. This is the shakeout period. This was the beta test, and the beta test failed. Folks, do you want to live in a beta fight-and-flight reactionary lifestyle for the rest of your lives, being ruled by maniacal people who just soon see you dead? Or would you rather live your life in a state of love, a state of harmony, a vibration that also synchronizes with the very planet in which we live? Yes.
That state is called Colorado because they just legalized weed.
You know, God said that everything that produced seed was good to eat. So here is where the law of man has overstepped the law of God by it making a plant which grows naturally on this planet illegal. Enough said about that topic, because we can talk about that. That's a whole another show. But here's where we are. We're at a time where we have to awaken, and reading letters to Earth will give you the answers, where we came from, why we are here, and what our future is going to be. With that, folks, I'm going to say thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure to be able to talk to everyone here. Love and blessings to all. Visit my website. Download a PDF copy of Letters to Earth. It'll cost you $5. I don't know. I'm sure your exchange rate is pretty close to ours. You can start reading it tonight. www.peterkling.com. Join me on Facebook. I got some great Facebook friends. There's still room there. We keep track of the world and what's going on. We live in critical times, difficult to deal with. It's time to prepare for the worst, pray for the best. Love and blessings to everyone. Have a great night.
Indeed. All right. And also, ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind this is a listener-supported broadcast. So if you do like the idea of interviewing great thinkers and authors and MDs and lawyers and journalists and goodness knows who else kind of people they've got on the show. But if you like that idea, if we're doing it commercial-free, if you're letting people have a few laughs and that kind of thing, and if you like the old entertaining factor as well as the fact that you're actually learning something every single show, I certainly am, then please, for the love of Norwegian cheese, go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news. and donate today. And the other preference that we have here is to make a regular donation. You can donate as little as $1 a month or as much as $100 a month, as some listeners do. And all it does, just pay for all the facilities so that we can continue producing the show for you. And the media's not doing their job, so I'm not going to complain about them. I'm just going to go ahead and freaking replace them because they're no longer relevant. All right. Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see you again sometime, assuredly.
You are the only exception. You are the only exception. You